Soul in the house, shout hallelujah. How many souls are alive for God? Shout hallelujah. Lift up your voice and bless the name of the Lord for bringing you here again. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Don't take Him for granted that this is how you always come. You are here because God wants you to be here. You are here because God has enabled you to be here. You are here because it has pleased the Almighty God for you to be here. Father, I want to say thank you. Father, I want to say thank you. It has pleased you for me to be here. Father, I am thanking you. I thank you, Lord, for your word that has been coming to us expressly. Thank you for all we have been receiving. On this Bible study day, you have been feeding us. Every day, you have been feeding us. You never allow us to know starvation of your word. Daddy, Lord, we are grateful unto you. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me the ears to hear. Thank you for giving me the heart to receive. Thank you, Lord, my Father, for all the transformations I've been receiving by your word. Blessed be your name forever. Daddy, take all the glory, honor, and adoration. Be exalted, be glorified, be magnified forever. We are grateful for what you are prepared to do in our life again. Daddy, Lord, we are grateful. Blessed be your holy name forever. Take all the glory. Take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we are giving thanks. Our amen is very small. Say amen of the living souls. Let's cry to God and say, Father, you are a God of new things, and you are a God of signs and wonders. By your word this evening, come and do something in my life. Let me have an encounter with signs and wonders. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are the one who does new things, great and wonderful things. And you're God of signs and wonders. By coming in contact with your word again, do something new in my life. Do something in my life. Do something in my life. Let me have an encounter with signs and wonders again. By your word, in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't let me go back the same way I came. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Let's say, Father, open my ears to hear what you are saying tonight and give me the heart to receive it. Oh yeah, go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, please open my ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us tonight and what the Holy Spirit asks for me. That they give me the heart to receive, receptive heart, and the heart of God, my Father, go of good soil. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. A louder amen. You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You are God.
You are God. From beginning to the end.
There's no place for arguments.
You are God all by yourself.
You are God.
You are God. From beginning to the end,
there's no place for arguments.
You are God all by yourself.
Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And your word is forever settled in heaven. We have come to worship you, to appreciate you, to glorify your name. Father, accept our worship in the mighty name of Jesus. We are thanking you for blessing us by your word, healing us by your word, edifying us by your word, transforming our life by your word. Daddy, we have come again to say thank you for what you are doing tonight. Take all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, even if your people are so heavy that our amen is not loud enough, Daddy, don't reduce your blessing you are giving unto us by your word tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. The life of every one of us, let the spirit in your word locate us in the mighty name of Jesus. And let us have an encounter with you again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' name we pray. A living amen. Shout hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's have our outlines distributed quickly because we are going into a new topic today. Quickly, quickly, why are you only two? Quickly distribute these things so that we can save our time. Praise the Lord. Abba, praise the Lord. You know I carry microphone. I can ask you to stand up if you are not responding to my praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. God will bless someone tonight. Who is that? Are you the one? You will not miss the blessing in Jesus' name. The topic of our study is spiritual bankruptcy. And we are looking at part one, spiritual bankruptcy. Everybody say it. Say it again. Our text is Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. Verse 16 to 21. I read. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast more goods laid off for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The memory fast is the last fast. Everybody say Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Let's read it together. So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I pray that our spiritual riches will multiply tonight in Jesus' name. Beside what I put in the introduction, I would love to say quickly so that I will not overload introduction. That's why it's not more than this. It's high time we understand that there is what we call spiritual riches and physical riches. Man can do anything humanly possible to ensure that we enrich ourselves physically. And for the spiritual, the people that have understanding also, they can do anything possible in order to reach themselves spiritually. But whenever the spiritual riches are lacking, where the physical riches are overweighing the spiritual riches, then there will be spiritual bankruptcy. So, I put it into introduction like this. As it is possible to be bankrupt financially, that is physically, it could also happen spiritually. A bankrupt person has run out of resources to run his or her affairs, either physical or spiritual. One can be rich in material things, but poor spiritually, that is, run out of spiritual resources to maintain a spiritual life. And to avoid this, we need to know how to avoid spiritual bankruptcy. May I pray for somebody here? You will not be spiritually bankrupt in the mighty name of Jesus. And you will not be financially bankrupt in the mighty name of Jesus. Adi Joe was speaking on Sunday that if care is not taken, the way Nigeria is going, somebody said, Nigeria is going to bankruptcy. What do you think? If 90% of our income is being used to service our loan, I mean, we are not even talking of repaying the capital. So that shows that already what we are having as resources can no longer cope with our needs. So it could happen also spiritually. Your spiritual life needs to be sustained with spiritual resources. And when those resources are not there, then bankruptcy will come in. Those of you reading paper, I will collect my paper from you because you are not listening. And it will do you good. You know, I've told you that it's not possible for me to write everything I have in mind on paper. It's not possible. And I went to the extent of telling you that there is a difference between the word logo and the word rhema. The word logo is the word written. The word rhema is the word spoken. You need the two. And you have the advantage of taking the word rhema because you are here. It's people that are not here that can only be reading the word written. In fact, I just want to believe that when you are in an atmosphere like this, where your ears can hear not only your eyes see, the Almighty God has something for you beside what is written. So, I just pray after this study, I won't ask you what did you gain? And you have to be referring to your paper before you remember. That is the danger. May the Lord enrich us spiritually in Jesus' name. Amen. Say a good amen. Amen. For our online congregation, wherever you are, in any part of the world, the Spirit of the Lord will also minister to you there in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are looking at three sections. One, to be spiritually bankrupt. What does it mean? Number one, it means having a debt of sin and having nothing to pay for it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I believe, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were crowned with honor and glory when we were born, according to Psalm 8:6. You are crowned with glory and honor, but we run short of this glory because of sin. That is, sin has robbed us of the glory of God. Now, Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the question now is, who will help us pay the wages of death? It came as a result of our sin. We cannot do it by ourselves. So when we have penalty for sin, and we cannot pay the penalty by ourselves, we are spiritually bankrupt. We are spiritually bankrupt. Ephesians 2:1-3. Ephesians 2:1-3 said, "We were once dead in trespasses, you as he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now, listen to this verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even others." You know, how can somebody be in this kind of situation and be able to help himself? Dead in trespasses and sins. Not only that, we have been separated from God because of sin, then we become children of wrath. We are under the anger of God. How can we help ourselves? For anybody who has a load of sin upon himself and he does not know how to bail himself out, he is spiritually bankrupt. Two, when you are rich in possession but poor or lean in spiritual possessions, Luke chapter 12, that is our text. I will read just verse 19. Verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast more goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Verse 20 says, go on, Oga. I think I better turn it to myself. "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself has not rich toward God." Now let's pay attention to verse 21. Anybody that lay up treasure for himself in this world but is not rich toward God, he has material possessions. Look at the man comforting himself, assuring himself of a rest, assuring himself that he will eat and be satisfied. He will be merry. He will enjoy. God told him, he said, "You, this man, you don't even bother about your soul. You are only thinking of how you enjoy the money you have and all the possessions. What happens to your soul?"
You are rich truly, physically.
But you don't know, you don't check up how rich is your soul. So, when you have plenty of material possessions, I congratulate you. I wish you also think of soulless possession, spiritual possession. So that when the need comes for your spiritual wants, you will not run out of resources. So when you are rich in material possessions, but you are lean, you know, spiritually, Psalm 106, I didn't have this one in your paper. You can add it. Psalm 106, verses 14 and 15. Psalm 106, verses 14 and 15. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Those people, what did they ask for? They wanted manna or food. They got. They wanted quails. They got. They wanted water. They got. And they can continue to. But of everything that the children of Israel hungered for when they were in the wilderness, you could hardly find any spiritual things there. That was why many of them didn't make heaven. They were always asking for things that we enjoy physically. They never pray that the kind of spirit that is on Moses, let it be on them. The anointing of Moses, let it be on them. The grace of God that Abraham enjoyed, whenever they cry, they either cry for water or for meal or for meat. And God made sure that he kept on sending everything they needed. But he gave their soul to lean. Their soul was so lean that is, spiritually, they were not rich. Well, don't you know that nowadays, if you begin to raise prayer points that has to do with only spiritual things in the church, very soon, your congregation will reduce in number. I'm telling you that. In fact, we preachers have to sit down one day and we were, you know, they have to teach us how to preach to the congregation of nowadays. The congregation of nowadays, what you are supposed to preach as outreach message outside, if you are not careful, when you get inside, you preach the same thing. Because there is a difference between outreach and inreach. But nowadays, we have to quickly balance the two. Otherwise, people are more concerned about their physical possessions, material possessions. You are not talking of healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. I mean, you have not talked. And to think of it, I mean, will God want you to be sick? Because throughout the time of the period of children of Israel in the wilderness, they were never sick. God still took care of that. But of all their requests they made in the wilderness, hardly can you find anything spiritual there. And so, God gave them to leanness of soul. I pray that our spiritual understanding shall be opened in the name of Jesus. To be spiritually bankrupt means to lacking the fruit of the spirit, but soaked in the fruit of the work of the flesh. Walking in the flesh, you know, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. But I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. These people, what are you doing there? You are lost in the flesh? For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that I love. But if ye are led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now let's see. Now the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I counted everything. You know, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, fury, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. I counted 17 of them. Now, he now says, against all there is no law. He said, you know, meaning that there are even more than that. And I came to count the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Thank God, when I was very young in faith, I'm still young in faith, I sat down one day and I took a paper, I took a Bible, I was nearly about 3 months in the Lord. And I wrote the work of the flesh down. I listed them. And I listed the fruit of the Spirit one by one. And I started checking. Am I truly free from this one? Am I truly free from this one? Am I really free from this? It's not mechanical as you think. But once in a while, I look at myself. Am I more of the Spirit? Am I more of the work of the flesh? Or more of the fruit of the Spirit? I want to place myself on the balance and see which one will go down, which one will go up. When you are more of the work of the flesh than the fruit of the Spirit, there will be no way you will not be spiritually bankrupt. And so, you can go ahead and do the rating yourself, do the scoring yourself, put yourself on the balance and weigh which one outweighs the other. But I want to pray that the Spirit in us will be far, far stronger than our flesh in the mighty name of Jesus. So, at least for today, we have looked at those three angles of how you can be spiritually bankrupt. So, look at it. If you have any sin, you have nothing you can use to pay the debt. And then, if you are always eager to get material possessions, not eager to get spiritual possessions, you know what you are running at or where you are running to. Let's look at the second part. Peculiar features of spiritual bankruptcy. What are the things you see in the life of somebody who is spiritually bankrupt? When a person is spiritually bankrupt, number one, he or she could be physically alive but spiritually dead. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That shows that it doesn't mean until somebody goes to the graveyard, or not until the doctor certify him dead, before God we know that this one is dead. Now we are talking of spiritual death anyway. You can certify yourself dead if you discover that, you know, you are more into the flesh than more into the Spirit. You are spiritually dead. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I think that one even used direct and simple language. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. But she that liveth, or he that liveth in pleasure, is dead while she liveth. He that liveth in pleasure. In those days, we used to crack joke. When I see the way, the very time people can maintain their spirituality. There are times we are engaged in certain things and we throw our spirituality away. We throw caution to the wind on the day of merriment. The way some of us will be interacting, you almost guess whether this fellow is a child of God or not. They can say anything. They can share any joke. They can even joke with lies. They can joke with, you know, unholy conversation. They can lust after opposite sex. All in the name of we are under merriment. Daddy Joe said something to us when we were having a meeting with him last Thursday. He said one of the reasons why he hates celebration and something like celebrating birthday is that the most dangerous time in the life of a man is after celebration. It's after celebration. Because the moment you have been celebrated, people will sing your praises. They will shower and come on you. They will never tell you your fault. They won't tell you. So when you are merry, when you are free and you are merry and you are happy and God has blessed you with certain things and you give yourself to pleasure and pleasure has taken you over. The Bible says that fellow is dead. Why he think he's alive? Who will ask you not to be alive? Who will not ask you not to be in pleasure? But you are giving yourself to pleasure. You are giving yourself to pleasure. And that one has already is overriding spiritual life. The Bible says the fellow is dead. The fellow is dead. So a child of God needs to, when we get to part two of this study, I'll be able to explain well, needs to observe moderation in all things. I love my principal when I was in school. He would tell us, my children, enjoy yourself but know where to stop. We said, you are free to interact with one another, but enjoy yourself. But know where to do what? Know where to stop. So when you give yourself to pleasure, you are dead when you think you are alive. Peculiar features. His or her life will be ruled by the desires of the flesh. A life of carnality, a life of babes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now take note of this. Could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for either though ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For why one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos? Are ye not carnal, brethren? The milk of the world that are simple, they are good, beneficial. Milk is good. But a time will have to come in your life when you will not only be taking the milk of the world, you take the strong meat. The world that is very hard. Very, very hard. Because life is a battle. And you need to develop your spiritual muscle in order to fight the war. Now, Paul the Apostle is now saying that among you, there is envy, there is strife, there are divisions, there are lust, there are fighting, adultery, that kind of thing. Divisions, are you not carnal? I actually wanted to speak to you as adult, but I have to come down and speak to you as a babe because you are carnal. Any congregation where strong messages, strong word of God cannot be preached, all of them are babes in the Lord, and you cannot do without being carnal. When you are a babe in the Lord, you are not ready to be strong spiritually. Then you remain a babe. Physically, we know the strength that a baby can have in order to resist some opposition. A babe, what can he do? He has to be defended all the time. So, when you are spiritually bankrupt, the desires of the flesh will be ruling above the desires of the spirit. That is carnality and it's dangerous. Mundane things will concern you. Futures of spiritual bankruptcy, he or she may not be proactive in spiritual matters. Foolish virgins. Matthew 25. We are reading verse 1 to 4, then we jump to 8 to 12. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Go on. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Let's jump to verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answer said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Continue. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was shut. Let's just stop there. It's a very big parable. 10 virgins. And whether we like it or not, in the church of nowadays among us, we are divided into two: foolish virgins, wise virgins. Who are the foolish virgins? People that will not make provision for raining day. People that will not make room for emergency. People that will not provide enough resources that can last them for their life. They only delight in emergency prayers, fire brigade prayers. Like I was begging many of us, come and do night vigil. Come to the Bible study. All these things you are praying for or you are receiving now, you may not need them now. But the day you will need them, circumstances will produce. But what you have already received, what have already swallowed, will now begin to work. You know, Yoruba will say, one in tell you about jele yo se kini o, the yag before. Tell you about jele yag before. The foolish virgins, they didn't provide for the extra oil. And suddenly, the bridegroom now prolonged his coming. Before he arrived, their oil is finished. Only to be begging the wise one to bring them, to give them oil. Let's check the spiritual provision we are making in order to take care of our future life. We have to be proactive. Night vigil will not be necessary when you don't have problem. But something will tell you that you have to do your prayer. I'm not even talking of night vigil. I've been praying without ceasing. It doesn't matter when you have it, that is when the problem comes. No. You cite the scriptures, and the word of the Lord should not depart from your mouth. You meditate upon it day and night, every day. Whether you see trouble or you don't see trouble. But foolish virgins, they only provide for now. They are not taking care of the future. May the Lord make us wise in the mighty name of Jesus. And then they could become an enemy of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, let's read it before. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot please God. To be carnally minded is enmity against God. When you are, you know, making much provision for the flesh, then that is spiritual carnal, and that is an enemy. You cannot please God in carnality. No, it's not possible. And on most occasions now, when the enemy now confronts you, you will first of all be finding your level. Whether you have enough anointing to confront the devil, whether you are pure enough to confront the devil, whether you have enough word in your mouth to confront the devil, when the devil comes. But are they being that you are always on your toes? Amen.
The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? When you are carnal, you are against God. And no, when you are against God, that's a battle you can never win. So a carnal man is not until you become a witch. It's not until you commit fornication and adultery. Even when you are living a carnal life, you are already an enemy of God. Because God cannot use you at that time. Not only that, it's very easy for you to compromise with the devil rather than cooperating with God. And so, then, a bankrupt fellow will be living a life of inconsistency and lukewarmness. According to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Do we need? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I will, thou art cold or not. I know thy works. Let's read the next verse. My God. Pardon me, I want to read that passage myself. Revelation chapter 3, you can open to it. I want to read verses 15 and 16. Because that's what I asked them to project. They stop at verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I will thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. A lukewarm person is an enemy of God because it doesn't satisfy God. That is to say, rising today, falling tomorrow. And that is very common in the life of somebody who is spiritually bankrupt. It will be so hot today that the devil there never tried to come near him. But the next day, one day I sat down. I said, is it time for me to relax? Is it time for me to take a rest? No, as a child of God, in fact, you need to be on your toes at all times. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. He said, be not slothful in business, but be fervent in the spirit. You have to be fervent in the spirit. So when you are lukewarm, you see lukewarmness in your life, you are hot today, you are cold tomorrow, you are inconsistent, you are in, you are out, then that is spiritual bankruptcy. Tonight I pray there be a great deliverance for those who are lukewarm in the mighty name of Jesus. Say a better amen. Solutions to spiritual bankruptcy. Number one, repentance and washing in the blood of Jesus for the payment of the debt of your sin. Repentance. Everybody say repentance. 1 John chapter 1 is not in your paper. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anytime I read that passage, I say, number one, God has given me opportunity to be examining myself all the time. Meaning that it is not wrong. If I discover something in my life that is wrong, and then I tell it to God, God expects that there could be occasion for us to have to go into, you know, uncleanliness unknowingly. But the moment you examine yourself and you discover it, you confess, you repent and forsake it, never to go back again, because he will cleanse you with his blood. Romans chapter 5, we read verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, let's now read verse 8 to 10. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. much more than being now justified by his blood. Everybody, I want you to say, being now justified by his blood. Please say it loud and clear. What justifies us? Say it again. So, in case the enemy has sentenced you and say, you cannot come out of this bankruptcy, tell him the blood of Jesus is there. So, be now justified, by, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved. So, you can encourage yourself when you discover that you are already falling away from God. Come back and check what actually caused it. And then put it under the blood of Jesus and don't go back to it again. Because that blood will bring justification to you immediately once you confess and you forsake. And the blood will condemn the devil. Thank God, because the blood is there. And that blood will continue to work in our life in Jesus' name. So repentance, washing the blood, then living by faith in the word of God and not by sight. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. No, that's not it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Everybody say, the just shall live by faith. Now, every just person here say, I shall live by faith and not by sight. I shall live by faith and not by sight. Well, all these things we are saying that God can do in your life and you can possess, you can only have them through faith. Even to live a life that is victorious above the work of the flesh, you live by faith. To allow the Almighty God to bless you with spiritual resources, you get them by faith. And when you pray that, God, I want to be spiritually enriched, and I want you to make me a spiritual Christian and not a carnal Christian, you get it by faith. And so you have to live by faith and not by sight. That is, living by the promises of God, living by the word of God. We will expand much on that next week if Jesus tarries. Solution to spiritual bankruptcy: make no provision for the flesh. Romans 13, 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The secret of the flesh is revealed there. The weakness of the flesh. If you don't make provision for the flesh cannot rule you. The flesh is ruling you because you allow it. You permitted it. But if you don't make, how can I make provision for the flesh? Let me start from the issue of the food we are eating. If I don't overeat, number one, I'm helping my physical health. Number two, I am allowing my spirit to be more active. And then if I don't overeat, I am promoting my spiritual life to be able to pray. But when we are making provision for the flesh, he's coming back in order to demand, for what he wants. Provision for the flesh, you sleep too much, you talk too much, your conversation, you are always enjoying the company of the unbelievers, that kind of the thing. You make sure that, what am I doing that is helping the flesh to override my spirit? You just sit down and you look at it. What is, oh God, somebody look at somebody, a man of God, and he look at how God just lay somebody dress, and he said, I appreciate appreciate the beauty of God upon your life. But why is it that you love your enemy so much like this? You love your enemy. You decorate him. You decorate him with what you want. You feed him whatever. Any kind of support and the provision you are giving to your flesh, let me tell you, you are only taking care of your enemy too much. Who will ask you not to wear good clothes or eat good food? But be careful. Provision for the flesh to come back and bounce back on you and rule you, be careful. Like I said, I sat down one day. What is it that I'm doing that is helping my flesh to rule my spirit? And I stopped them. And I stopped them. And I told Mr. Flesh, you cannot rule me. I will not allow you. I will never, never allow you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, now put it in the right way. He said, walk in the spirit. I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Everybody say, walk in the spirit. Talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. Walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say a good amen. So, don't take care of your enemy by making provision for the flesh. Because it's going to rob you of spiritual riches. Watch and pray. That is, pray without ceasing. Mark chapter 13. Let's read only Mark chapter 13, verses 35 to 37 there. Verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at eve or at midnight, at cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Everybody say watch. Say it again. Matthew 26, verse 41. Our Lord Jesus Christ at Garden of Gethsemane. He now talked there. Matthew 26, verse 41. Okay. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Let me stop there. If you watch and pray, what does the Bible say you will not enter into? Say it again. Now, one of my elder brother put it this way. He's a CAC man, but he's an elderly person. He said, we often forget that watch come before prayer, but we only concentrate on prayer, we don't watch. And the two have to go together. Watch and do what? Tell your neighbor and say, watch and pray. If I will make you laugh, tell him, say, the Bible does not say pray and watch. Say, tell him like that. He said, watch and pray. Prayer is good, and we do a lot of it, but the Bible says watch and do what? Pray, so that you will not enter into temptation. So let's be careful. When our flesh wants to push us too much, watch. When your leg wants to carry you to where you are not supposed to go and to go, watch. When your eyes wants to carry you to go to where to see what you are not supposed to see, watch. When your ears wants to be hearing what can pollute you, watch. Watch. In fact, it is when you watch, you will be able to know the correct prayer point. You watch, then you pray correctly. Then be a wise virgin. Be a wise virgin. Anyway, we don't need to go to the story of you know what the wise virgin did? They made provision for extra oil. That is to say, they don't allow their spiritual level to go down. They are always fervent in the spirit, just as Romans 12, verse 11 says. He said, be not slothful in business. He said, but be fervent in the spirit. In one of the fashion of the Bible, Dick Bible, that fervent in the spirit said, always be at the boiling point. Always be at the boiling point. No room for entertaining demons. No room for entertaining flies. You are always at the boiling point. On the road, you are praying the spirit. In your bedroom, you are praying the spirit. On your bed, you are praying the spirit. The devil will say, don't go now. If you don't want to be burnt, this man is always, he's always in the front line. You see, you have to be, you know, a wise virgin. Why? We don't know when the bridegroom will come, and you don't know when the tempter will come. Because that's another side of it. You don't know when the bridegroom, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and we don't know when the tempter will come. But I just know that when you are your spiritual muscle is very strong enough, you'll be able to resist the devil when he comes. And then you have enough stamina to fly on the day of the rapture. Therefore, what is the basic thing I'm saying this evening? Our spiritual resources will be more of concern to us than our material resources, our material possessions. Oh, yes, that's why the saints of those days, they almost read the Bible upside down. They even believe that if you are rich, you cannot go to heaven. The Christian need to be poor. But in an attempt to correct that one, we are trying to correct that impression. We now go extra mile to allow the issue of preaching about material possession to now suppress that of spiritual possession, and spiritual bankruptcy comes in. A child of God that needs to be at alert and hot and take authority against the devil, he'll be going from one mountain to the other, going to one prayer, to one prophet to the other, instead of exercising the authority, because he's not sure of himself. How rich are you spiritually, brethren? If you are not rich enough for what will carry you for the rest of your life, the devil will declare you bankrupt. And when you are bankrupt, then you can no longer maintain your spiritual life. I pray tonight, the era of spiritual bankruptcy will be terminated in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm not going to cry to God, God, I don't want bankruptcy in my life again, because the same God that can make you rich physically is the same God that can make you rich spiritually. But that of the flesh must not override that of the spirit. Rise on your feet and say, Father, I will not be bankrupt spiritually. Say, I will not be bankrupt spiritually. My spiritual resources must multiply. Begin to pray and say, Father, deliver me from spiritual bankruptcy. Deliver me from carnality. Deliver me from the work of the flesh. Please cry to God. 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 Rama Papa Sakayaba. That deliver me from spiritual bankruptcy. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help you, Lord, my Father. Rambo Shekereba. Romo Keremakoko Romo Shindala. Organ, you pray. Pray for yourself. Leave organ alone. Pray, pray, pray for yourself. Ramo Pisekere Maraba. Let's pray tonight, because these are the things that the devil does not want you to hear. He wants you to be so carnal, so carnal, that when he comes, he continues to defeat. Pray that the Almighty God will deliver you from anything spiritual bankruptcy. That God Almighty will make you rich spiritually. That God will make you rich in spiritual things. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Rama papa kayamba koka bosekere makokoro boshendia. Ramako kabosekri makrobokiri makroboshindia. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hey, say a good amen. I want you to pray and say, Father, every passion for materialism in my life, let it die today. Oh yeah, go ahead and pray. Every passion for materialism, every passion for mundane things in my life, that let it die today in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every passion for materialism, crave for materialism, that let it die in me, the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's say, Father, give me the hunger and the thirst for spiritual riches. For spiritual riches. Give me the hunger, give me the thirst for spiritual riches. For the things of the Spirit. Pray, 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 pray that prayer. Ramakuroboshendia. Ramakaya bako kabusekere mako kabusekri maruboshendia. Everlasting Father, Lord, give me the hunger, give me the thirst for spiritual riches. For spiritual riches. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now say, Father, enrich my prayer life. Enrich my prayer life. Enrich my life at the altar of prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, the grace to pray without ceasing. Let the Lord give unto me. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw me closer to yourself at the altar of prayer. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ramaka yabakoka boshekriba. That they draw me to yourself, O God, at the altar of prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ramakro Oshindia. Enrich my prayer life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now say, Father, help me at all times to watch and pray so that I will not fall into temptation. Oh, yeah, go ahead and cry to the Almighty God. Help me to watch and to pray so that I will not fall into temptation. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ramakayaba kokabose krimarobo kabayaba. Ramako kabose krimakrobo krimarobo shendia. That the Lord help me to watch and to pray so that I will not fall into temptation. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say, Father, every work of the flesh that is still manifesting in my life, Father, destroy it today. Father, destroy it today. Every work of the flesh that is still manifesting in my life, Father, destroy it. Daddy, destroy it. Daddy, destroy it. Deliver me from it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ramoshe kerebara. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And finally, I'm going to pray and say, Father, make me one of the wise virgins. Don't let me ever be a foolish virgin. At every point in time, let me be ready for your coming. Oh, yeah, go ahead and pray. Let me be ready for your coming. Let me be ready for your coming. The coming of the bridegroom is at hand. The coming of the bridegroom is at hand. Ramoshe keke keke reba robo shendia. That the Lord make me one of the wise virgins. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Help me to be on my toes. Help me, O God, to be at the boiling point. Help me to be fervent in the spirit. At all times, in the name of Jesus. Make me one of the wise virgins. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please pray this final one. Say, Father, in whatever way the enemy has declared me bankrupt spiritually, cancel that bankruptcy with your blood. Cancel with your blood. Justify me with your blood. Tonight, justify me with your blood. In any way the enemy has declared me bankrupt, that they cancel with your blood. In the name of Jesus. And let me remain justified at all times. At every moment, let your blood continue to speak for me against the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Your amen can be louder. Father, the Bible says, you supply our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have the power to make us rich because you gave us power to get wealth. Daddy, if you can make a man rich physically, you can also make him rich spiritually. Tonight we pray. The life of being rich physically and bankrupt spiritually, let it come to an end in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. The hunger and thirst for spiritual things, for spiritual growth, for spiritual exercise, Give all that hunger and thirst in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to be fervent at all times, never to be lukewarm in the mighty name of Jesus. Give us more fire in our spiritual life in the name of Jesus. When the prince of this world will come, don't let him find anything in us in the mighty name of Jesus. Make us one of those wise virgins in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to be wiser and smarter than our enemies in the name of Jesus. Help us to watch and pray till you come in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. People of God say better, Amen.